My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Let's try both of those. Okay, there we go. And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off that. Man, my chair has sunk once again. Hang on a second. So I have my name and you know, the Chosen Generation label underneath me. And then, but when my chair sinks like that, then it's like you see my forehead, you know, the rest of me is like down behind the behind the tag. So anyway, there you go. All right, better now. Welcome back, hour number two. If you missed any parts of hour number one, David Justokas and I were having a great conversation about our Constitution, about the assault on our Constitution, what's happening with that, and there's a lot to unpack relative to the assault against our constitutional republic. And so I hope you'll take some time. That'll be up a little bit later on today for you to be able to watch that segment. But you can go listen to it, actually, even right now. And so there you go. Well, I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program. She's with me now here regularly on Wednesdays. She is a part of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network as well. She is a regular contributor on Newsmax, and she is a regular contributor on a number of programs, but we're really pleased to have her and her good friend with us. Who you got there?
My friend Denny.
Denny.
Apparently would like my attention.
All right. Hey, Denny. Good deal. Good deal.
Goodness.
All right. So, we were kind of breaking in a little bit and we're going to get to it. And actually, so tell folks what you are running for.
Now, so to be clear, I just want to, before I say that,
yes.
Project 21 is a nonprofit.
Right. And you're not here today representing Project 21 in relationship to anything that you say regarding you as a candidate. This is totally separated. I have had a long-term relationship with Project 21, as you know. Love the folks at the National Center for Public Policy Research. And so, you know, part of you being with me on a regular basis is, you know, as official things come up that are representative of that, of their point of view, you will bring those things forward. Today's segment is not about that. Today's segment, I had specifically said last week, I said, you know what, let's have you talk a little bit about that, and then we can talk about both the local, the state applications and the national applications of your run for office. So now that we've cleared the table, and created the separation, talk to me about what you're running for.
So I'm running for a county commissioner in Cape May County, New Jersey, where I live. For those states that don't have commissioners, or they call them something else, it used to be called freeholders, but it's the level of government between the municipalities and the state. So anything that happens on the county level in Cape May County, anything that we're involved in, anything that we run, that is what the county commissioners do ordinances and things like that. It's executive and administrative at the same time, kind mm-hmm. of a combination job. But that's what I'm running for. Not that it necessarily matters to me, but I would be the first person that looks like me to ever serve on this particular board. So that's exciting. It's going pretty well thus far.
When we talk about, you know, getting involved, and we talk about, you know, the importance of local office holders and local politics, this is really right there. I mean, this is the kind of grassroots campaigning and getting involved in your very local, because what happens locally then begins to impact what happens to the state, and then begins to impact what happens on a national level. Just very quickly, and then I want to toss it back to you, but, you know, I'm watching what's happening with the Speaker of the House situation, and we're going to get into that with Rick Manning coming up. But here's something that I find interesting about that. I got to tell you. So here in Texas, and Ken Paxton brought this up with Tucker Carlson, and I'm glad that he put it out there on the national stage. But here in Texas, the Speaker of the House has been being selected by the Democrats, even though there is a majority of Republicans running the House, and it's been that way for the last 10 years that I know of, and I believe for at least 4 to 6 years before I got back to Texas. So the Speaker of the House basically does a deal. He gets the block of the Democrats to vote for him on the promise that he's going to give committee chair positions to the Democrats, which they do. And then all he needs is a very small number of Republicans to join, even though, like here in Texas, at one point, we had a super majority of Republicans, and the Speaker of the House still made the Democrat deal, and they still do to this day. And as I'm watching that, I've been warning people for 10 years now, what's happening in Texas, the parallelisms between Texas and D.C. were really off the charts. Go right ahead, please.
And Pastor Greg, I'll tell you, just as somebody who's been around the block a little bit in politics, it happens all the time. It happens on local levels. It happens on where, you know, I don't want to say anything where somebody's going to think I'm being a little too specific, but let's just say where people in leadership in both parties will have a little chat. And they'll agree that, like, this is my territory and this will be my territory. I won't come against you for these offices and you won't come against me for these offices. And we'll all, you know, make money and live happily ever after. But you're basically saying, you know, giving the old, you know, what one finger salute to your constituents.
Absolutely.
And it's not right.
Yep.
It happens all the time.
I'll give you an example. You know, I'm on KHNC 1360 AM in the Denver market Monday through Friday in one of the early hours. And Ken Buck is the District 4 guy over there. And to those that are in his district, I know that many of you are frustrated. And all I can tell you is primary him out. Seriously, because here's a guy, I had him on my program a number of years ago with his book called Drain the Swamp. And he told his constituents, I'm going to drain the swamp. I'm here to drain the swamp. And I'm sad to say that he has become part of that very swamp on multiple levels and multiple recent votes. He's part of the swamp. He's not a part of the solution. He's part of the problem. I don't know if they've got something on him. I don't know if they're twisting his arm. I don't know. But the principled Ken Buck that came on my program years back, and you can go listen to it on my on the audio at my Spreaker account, that guy and the guy who wrote that book, there's no way that that guy does what this guy that's currently in that seat is doing. He just doesn't.
I have a theory about that, Pastor Greg, and I've shared this with many people. As somebody who's been an observer and had the privilege and opportunity to know people at all levels of politics, I think what happens is you start off really just wanting, a lot of people get involved because they see something that's wrong and they really want to change something. And they get involved at the local level, as you said, right? And quite frankly, local is really where it's at. That's what affects you the most, your most local politics, your municipal county, all that kind of stuff, right?
Sure.
But what happens is as you move up, you have the campaigns cost more money. You have bigger donors. You have people that offer to do you favors and things like that, that just kind of skate along the unethical lines, but not necessarily illegal. And then the next thing you know, the higher up you get, and I'm not accusing anybody specific of anything. I'm just saying as an observer, okay? The higher up you get, the more people you owe, and that's how you get caught up. Not only the more people do you owe, but the more temptation there is to be offered things. Not, and it doesn't, it's very subtle. You know, it doesn't necessarily come in the form of a direct bribe.
Right.
So I think that that is what happens to people, because whenever somebody gets, a politician gets arrested, I'm always like, how did you think you would get away with that? And I think the answer is, I got away with a whole bunch of other stuff before I got caught doing this. And that's why I thought I was invincible. And
well, look at Menendez.
Right.
I mean, exactly. Menendez is not going to step down. He's already dodged one of these kinds of bullets previously. He's not going to step down. He's going to keep fighting the fight. He's going to keep doing what he's been doing. And, you know, and I don't, you know, I can't, I don't know his case well enough. Look at what happened to Ken Paxton, though. Ken Paxton, I know, was railroaded. Ken Paxton was a political victim. And thankfully, he overcame that. But I know the scenario here in Texas, and he was sniped because of the fact, and he wasn't just sniped by the House Republicans. He was sniped by members of the Senate. He was sniped by the governor of the state of Texas, because, you know, Abbott is in Bush's pocket, and Paxton is not, and they wanted George P. Bush in that seat. And the people of Texas are smart enough to know that George P. Bush in that seat is not in the best interest of the people of Texas, period, end of story. And right. So they said no. And the Bush machine said, well, we don't care what the people want. This is what we're going to do. And it trickles all the way down. We had a situation about 30 miles from me. A friend of mine was removed because when he was a juvenile, he was involved in a criminal action at 17 years of age. He's now my age, in his 60s, and he, quite frankly, I'm sure, just forgot. I mean, he didn't remember that he was involved in it, and it was supposed to have been expunged, not on the record anymore. One of his political enemies did some digging and digging and digging, and after several years of him being in office, discovered it and brought it forward and said, yeah, let's see, look, he lied. He said, Well, if you had a record that was expunged, you are by law allowed to say it never happened because it was expunged. That's part of the deal. It's part of the whole thing, is to give you a clean slate. And especially if you're a juvenile like that.
Right, right. That's the way that's supposed to work.
Exactly. And so, unfortunately, something happened and paperwork didn't get completed or something, and it's somehow sticking out there and what have you. But that was a political hit job. Same thing on a local level, because he is a person who stands on his principles and says, hey, wait, no, I don't think that's in the best interest of the people. Let's talk about this. Let's discuss this and defend the people. And he's actually, it was a county commissioner. That's one of the reasons I bring it up. So it's at the same level you're talking about.
That's the thing, too, about politics. You know, nobody's perfect, right? Everybody, I promise you, I bet even Pastor Greg has a skeleton or two. Everybody has skeletons, right? That's how I see it. And the thing about politics that irritates my soul is you're kind of not allowed to be human. So you create this persona. And I'm not saying, like, I'm not talking about, like, if you were a career criminal or something like that. But people make mistakes, right? People have things that happen in their personal lives. And you just don't know what your opponent might dig up and bring up and put on TV or the radio.
True.
You just don't. Yep. You just don't. Now, I mean, if you're smart, and your, you know, people who are running your campaign are smart. You just always have opposition research. Our philosophy in my organization is that we play clean, but we are prepared to play dirty if we have to. So we play it straight. We don't do personal attacks, anything like that, unless an opponent hits us first. And we are always ready. If that should happen, we are always ready with a counterpunch.
Yeah.
But it's a shame that you have to think that way. Now, as far as Menendez is concerned, he's here in New Jersey.
Right.
When he got pinched the last time, went through a trial, and it was a hung jury, the other people that he got pinched with, they're in jail. He's not. These new charges, okay?
Yeah.
These new charges started happening like right after they had the hung jury and he decided not to prosecute again. So I'm not saying for sure that he's guilty, but I think he's got a case of invincibility. Now, but I think there's two things that are happening. I think he probably has always been acting this way on some level or some degree, and that people knew about it, but he ticked off the wrong people in his own party, and now all of a sudden, here we go. Now right. You're getting investigated, and you're getting pinched again, because on a state level, the Democrats have the majority in New Jersey. So where is that coming from? On a federal level as well.
Right.
Democrat.
Right. You're on the list now. You're on the list.
Yeah.
And
that coming from that he's getting pinched? It feels like his own party.
Well, Christie had the same. Yeah, Chris Christie had the same issue, right, with Bridgegate. You know,
yes.
That the whole thing with Bridgegate and weren't there some of those people that did end up getting some time, right, as a result of that?
But he
walked away under the belief that you know, he really didn't know specifically what was going on, or he wasn't the one that gave the order, supposedly, right? Am I remembering that right?
That's something like how it went. Yes.
Yeah. It's when you're and New Jersey is known, and I think I mentioned to you, I've had several different candidates that came on. I mean, New Jersey is way left. I mean, way left on killing babies, way left on pushing the transgender agenda and drag queens and homosexual behavior and all of that. I mean, they are radically on the left-hand side. They are majorly into ESG, which is the environmental. Help me out.
I forget with the, but they are. We're fighting
so diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Oh, yes,
and then environmental, social, and governance. Which is all the basically these are Marxist agendas, but New Jersey's heavily into that. And but if you're a business that embraces that, then they're like, come on over here, because we're going to give you all kinds of goodies and do everything that we can to help you be, you know, give you every government aid that we can possibly hand you, for pushing those ideas. And we don't want you to just push them in New Jersey. We want you to push them all across the country. We want you to, you know, in every location that you're at, we want your corporate headquarters here. We want you to make these corporate policies, and then we want you to span out across the United States and turn America into CCP North.
That's exactly right. Now, I'm very fortunate because the county that I'm running in and that I live in is one of the last bastions of conservatism in the state of New Jersey. So Cape May County is located actually below the Mason-Dixon line in the peninsula. Yes. When I tell people that, they're like, that's not true. They're like, take out a map. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So, so it's we're in the very tip. Matter of fact, the tip to Delaware Bay is called, we call it, it's exit zero. on the parkway. There's a restaurant called Exit Zero. But we are all red. There's like maybe one or two elected officials in this county that are Democrats. Congressman Van Drew, very infamously or famously, if you, however you want to put it, was the congressman who flipped from Democrat to Republican because he refused to vote for the impeachment of President Trump. And President Trump came here to Cape May County shortly after in Wildwood, New Jersey. And so we have a Trump store in our town. On the main street in our town, we have a Trump store, and every time I drive by, it's full. That's how conservative
We have a Trump store here in Bandera as well.
Yeah. And you know, we haven't lost a seat on the board that I'm running for, Republicans. It's been an all Republican board since the last time we lost was 2002. And guess who that commissioner was? The one and only Jeff Van Drew. And he was a vote of one. That's right. He was a vote of one on that board. So, you know, a lot of people ask me if Congressman Van Drew is the real deal, et cetera, et cetera. But if you've known him, and we all know him, you've known him for a while, you know that he was always pretty much a centrist. He was never like a left-wing loony. He was pretty moderate.
Right.
When the left moved further left, none of us were really surprised.
Well, it's you used to have, and we're going to run out of time, but you used to have a thing called Blue Dog Democrats. Do you remember those?
Yeah, that's what he was.
Yeah,
for sure.
And so a Blue Dog Democrat basically was socially conservative, and then fiscally more apt to vote in favor of government helping people. But it would kind of turn into government welfare so that you had this, issue that rises up where you have people that become dependent on that. And then that becomes kind of a problem.
Exactly. But yes, I'm fortunate to live in the red section of New Jersey. When people from North Jersey come down here, they're like, "It's so different here. We really like it here." And I'm like, yeah, because it's run by conservatives. When you call the cops, they actually show up in about 30 seconds.
And so, so the only thing we'll say as we close is if you're coming down from North Jersey to South Jersey to move there, don't bring your North Jersey attitudes and your North Jersey politics with you. And we say the same thing here in Texas. You know what? We're all about, you can move here, but don't bring your liberal blue concepts to our state because, don't try that here in my small town. All right.
That's exactly right.
Melanie, thanks so much for the conversation. I greatly appreciate it. And thank you that you are stepping out in your local community. Again, this is the epitome of what we talk about, and that is to get locally involved and locally engaged. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Pastor Greg.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again next week. We're going to take a break. Rick Manning joins us on the other side. We'll get into what's going on. I haven't even been following it. I don't know if there's any headlines out right now. I'll check it on the break. But we're going to be looking into whether or not, where the Speaker of the House situation lies, and we'll get Rick's input with regards to that coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural ortho-silic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And it is, let me see, punch that in. All right. It is always, always, always wonderful to have my next guest on the program, because we just have great, great conversations. And, of course, obviously, because, well, because he's so smart. And so when you have really smart people come on your show, then you can pretend like you know. And by the way, just along that line, Proverbs tells us that the way in which you do that is you be quiet. It's a very key thing. So Rick Manning, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here, my good friend.
Based on Proverbs, I'm afraid to say anything.
We're both going to sit here and just be quiet for the next 30 minutes. No, we're not.
America could use a contemplative time. We're going to leave open air for the next 30 minutes in respect for King Solomon.
Man.
I'll talk.
And, okay.
Running the risk of, I think, another proverb where he warns that if you remain silent, people may think you're a fool, but if you speak, they'll know you are. So I'll brave these Solomonic waters and this wisdom by moving forward into the breach.
I love it. Oh my goodness. Well, I can promise folks that when, you know, I, again, I mean, in all seriousness, I love having Rick on because I know that we're going to get a an unfiltered truth and truthful view from what's happening in Washington, D.C., and from that kind of level, from a really someone who could well be leading a think tank, but has his own in Americans for Limited Government. So, I
appreciate that. And absolutely. I mean, there's so much going on, and I think it's important sometimes to be able to laugh, particularly at ourselves, when there's so much tension and so many really, in a lot of ways, scary things happening in the world, and a kind of a feeling of things being unmoored, with a president who, truthfully, is how we have to redefine what we think about our president, because this one has changed the alliance and shifted our alliances in the Middle East in a way that's different from the way they've traditionally been, and quite honestly put us into this danger. But, you know, I think, I don't know how much you talked about earlier in the show about the what actually was happening overnight in the Middle East and the like. But for those who are just tuning in, we had our American embassy in Beirut was attacked and lit on fire. We had the U.S. embassy in Iraq attacked. We had the U.S. embassy in Amman attacked. We had at least one Israeli embassy overrun and burnt to the ground. We had and that was in response to a Hamas-fired missile failing, and with a warhead coming down and hitting a hospital, or more likely an ammo depot or a fuel depot next to a hospital that the Hamas people were using the hospital as a shield for their weapons or fuel. And you ended up with 500 people dying who were in the hospital from a misfired Hamas rocket, which the New York Times helpfully took the word of terrorists and said, oh, it was an Israeli airstrike. And spread the word helpfully around the world as an Israeli airstrike, at which point Iran put their proxies in motion and attacked a bunch of embassies. They raised a black flag above one of the key mosques in Iran, which signifies international jihad. It calls every Muslim to jihad where they're at. So they declared international jihad because a Hamas rocket hit a hospital in Gaza.
Well, let me play something. This was I just received this, but this is an intercepted conversation between Hamas people. So let me play this for you really quick, folks. Oh, hang on a minute. I'm sorry. I thought that it was going to be the translated. So let me go.
Yeah, they could have said just about anything there, Greg.
I hear you. Hang on. I'm having trouble with my vision here. So what he starts out by saying is, I'm telling you, this is the first time that we see a missile like this failing. And so that's why we are saying it belongs to the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. By the way, this is a Hamas operative. And operative number one says, what? Operative number two says, they are saying it belongs to Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Operator number one says, it's from us. Operator number two says, it looks like it. And then operator two says, well, who says this? Operator two says, they are saying that the shrapnel from the missile is local shrapnel and not like Israeli. Operator one says, what are you saying? And then there's silence. And then operator two says, but God bless, it couldn't have found another place to explode. Never mind. Yes, they shot it from the cemetery behind the hospital. So that's operator one. So now they both are on the same page and saying, right. Oh, yeah, oops, we're the ones that shot this. So Hamas shot this from the cemetery behind the hospital. It misfired and it landed in the hospital and exploded and killed all of those innocent people.
Yeah, that's what happened. And I don't know if you saw the there's video that was last night that was shot by an Al Jazeera reporter who shot video that showed the Hamas rocket being shot up. It showed it catch on fire. And then two explosions, one small explosion where the engine hit and the other explosion on the hospital where the warhead hit. And so you actually have video that shows that.
But it doesn't matter, Rick. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter. And it's the same thing that the media did here in America with BLM, right? Trayvon Martin. It didn't matter that Martin attacked George Zimmer. Didn't matter. It didn't matter that Michael Brown attacked the police officer. It didn't matter that the guy up in up north was a known heroin dealer who had served up heroin overdoses to probably 500 or 600 people. George Floyd was another one, but I'm talking about the guy that died in the back of the paddy wagon.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's Freddie Gray.
Yeah, Freddie Gray. I mean, in every one of these instances, you know, the reality, the guy that got shot in the back and paralyzed, who had come to the house and had just assaulted the woman and taken the children and put them in the back of the vehicle against her will and against their will.
Yeah, it's You're right. That is, but let me, just from the standpoint of standing with Israel on this.
Yes.
It's important that people understand, people are listening, that war has a lot of bad things happen in it. The Israelis did not, as was alleged and continues to be alleged by a lot of people, did not target a hospital.
Nope.
The Israelis did not have a bomb that misfired and hit a hospital. This was a Hamas weapon that came down and hit their own hospital. And it is so you're looking at, and it wasn't being fired in response or at Israeli planes. It was being fired into Israel with the intent to kill civilians. So please understand, everybody who's out there, that, you know, this is one that, you know, bad things happen in war. And I'm not saying that civilian casualties won't occur as a result of Israeli actions. That will occur. That's just inevitable. But this action, which caused the Middle East to erupt in attacks on U.S. and Israeli embassies, this action was a wholly self-inflicted wound by Hamas. And again, that ended up killing 500 people in Gaza.
Yeah.
We'll cover
this even more in depth with Dee Dee Loggins and coming up next hour. But just to say, you know, Hamas equals ISIS, and you really need to think of this in terms also of them as Hitler's Nazis. I mean, that's the kind of brutality that was released upon Israel in this situation. And it's just absolutely horrid, and it's ugly, and you know, the same people that are now are Holocaust deniers are the same kinds of people that deny that 40 babies were beheaded. They were beheaded. In fact, David Wormser actually spoke and took, I have a picture of it, but not of the babies, but a picture of him with the IDF soldier who was one of the first ones on scene to respond to what was happening in that particular community. and a firsthand witness of discovering what they did to those babies. Firsthand witness.
Yeah.
All right.
Despicable.
It is. I want to switch gears, although it's really not, because here's the issue. You know, when we look at what happened over in Israel as well, we had leftists that were attacking Benjamin. And I mentioned to you the reason that I got on a week ago Saturday to start was because of some things that Bannon was saying. And I've also contacted someone to try to get some insight. And you mentioned Miss Glick. I mentioned Miss Glick to this individual and said, tell Charlie Kirk to have her on his program, because Charlie's doing the same thing that Bannon is doing, going after. Now, David Wormser said Netanyahu politically is probably not going to survive this. And once the war is over, he will be out. And probably because, and there was mass failure at multiple levels in preparation for what happened. They were arrogant about some of this. They let their guard down, but there was also a major psyop, in my opinion, run by individuals in the United States government, State Department, that had access to things that they gave, in my estimation, based on, and I don't know if they'll ever investigate it, but I believe that they gave sensitive information to Iran, because we know of their connection to Iran, and Iran used that information and gave it to Hamas, and Hamas used that to disable parts of the electronic communication system in Israel.
It was an extremely sophisticated attack on the
absolutely.
That was mostly a cyber attack against the Israeli defense systems that left them blind for half an hour at least, while the fences, which are largely just electronically manned, were breached. And, you know, 1,000 Israelis were murdered.
I want to transition this into our conversation, Rick, about the Speaker of the House.
Netanyahu's in trouble from all perspectives. By the way, can I just say?
Yes.
Bannon is dead wrong on this. Okay.
Thank you.
I understand. You know, you and I have had numerous on-air disagreements about Ukraine. Okay. Numerous on-air disagreements about Ukraine.
Yes, sir.
And I will just say that if you can't distinguish between Ukraine and Israel in terms of U.S. policy, if you can't distinguish between those two things, I think reasonable people can disagree on Ukraine. Reasonable people cannot disagree on the need to defend an ally who had an attack by people who seek to kill 7 million Jews in Israel and drive them into the sea and extinguish the state of Israel. You cannot disagree that the people of Israel have a right to defend themselves, and they are wholly reliant on the United States. Ukraine, reliant on NATO, reliant on other entities. Israel is wholly
dependent on
stuck
us.
Stuck with us.
Yep.
Because they've got our weapons. They've got our weapons. Biden in January sent our weapons that were intended for Israel, that were based in Israel, the munitions we had there to help Israel have a backstop to defend against an attack. We sent them to Ukraine. We emptied out our storage, our weapons storage, our munitions storage in Israel, and sent them to Ukraine. Yep. We didn't replace them.
Yep.
So right now, Joe Biden goes to Israel, as he is right now, he's sitting there saying, he's trying to dictate terms to Benjamin Netanyahu on what Netanyahu has to do to be able to get the weapons necessary so he can actually have the means to fight at least a two-front war.
And it's Joe disgusting.
Biden was meeting with Netanyahu knows Netanyahu knows that Joe Biden has been a full ally of the people who are the perpetrators of the terrorist attacks, Iran.
100%.
And so, we look at this. It's a delicate situation. We see all the huggy-kissy with Netanyahu and Biden. But the fact is, Netanyahu is in a very precarious position right now, and is the wrong time to attack Benjamin Netanyahu for anything. His country's at risk. It's sort of like saying, gee, we're going to attack Winston Churchill because that withdrawal, that Dunkirk thing didn't go so well. Okay.
Actually it was because of something that was done. I forget the whatever the war it was, but it was something that was done years before Dunkirk, right? Because Dunkirk operationally ultimately ended up being one of the most major military successful operations in England's history. And getting all 300,000 of those individuals home, that was a gigantic thing. All right, but there's a good segue here relative to what you're talking about and the Speaker of the House situation and why, for example, what I shared, those three individuals and what they did, the Biden administration and how they have aided and abetted. You have an entity over there in Iran, in Hamas, that is yelling, screaming, death to America, death to America. And Joe Biden is saying, oh, that sounds good. Let's give you $6 billion. Oh, that sounds good. Let's help you to enrich uranium so that you have a nuclear weapon so that you can nuke our one and only ally in the Middle East. That's what Joe Biden is doing.
Yeah, Joe Biden is, with Hamas. Trump shut off funding to Hamas, shut off funding the UN Human Rights Commission. He did those things. Biden, right out of the box, reopens the funding to Hamas. Hamas has received about $1 billion of United States funds since Joe Biden became president. So were those monies spent to help the living conditions of the people who are living in Gaza, which have been described as jail or prison? No, they haven't been used for that. What they've been used for is produce weapons for Hamas and to pay martyrs, the families of martyrs who go across, what they call martyrs, people who are terrorists, who go to Israel and kill people and then die as a result. They have they need a desperate people with nowhere to go in order to have people to fuel their hate against Israel.
All right.
$1 billion has not, we have helped fund that. Joe Biden has helped fund that.
All right. So I want to talk about why then it's important. I know you are supporting Jim Jordan for Speaker of the House.
Correct.
Why is it important to have someone like Jim Jordan as the Speaker of the House at this time in relationship, not just to Israel, obviously, but there's so many other things. I mean, he was the guy that the tip of the spear that was trying to investigate. And I think we all understand that the former Speaker of the House interfered with Jordan's ability to fully prosecute against the deep state criminals. Talk to me about how this is playing out. And now the media is attacking Jordan and saying, well, his strong arm tactics have failed him, and he's not going to, where is he in this battle, and what can we do to help him?
Well, right now there was a vote yesterday. He was 20 votes short. He lost 20 Republicans. He's 16 votes short. And so, what people need to do is they need to contact, if you have a Republican representative, you need to contact your Republican representative. People from all over the country.
So let me throw this in really quick because, I'm going to make sure. I'm on KHNC 1360 AM in Denver, Monday through Friday in the mornings. This show will air tomorrow morning, first thing. I will text them to make sure this is the show that airs. Folks, you need to get on the phone. You need to bombard Ken Buck's office with phone calls at 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121 and say, connect me to Ken Buck's office. He does not want to talk to his constituents. I've tried to call this man. He does not want to talk to his constituents. He has a voicemail that intercepts your call. If you're in the Washington, D.C. area and you happen to be visiting right now, you should go to his office, knock on his door, and say, I'm from Colorado, and I'm here as one of your constituents. Now knock off the nonsense and vote for Jim Jordan. Seriously.
And I'm gonna just make it clear why this is important, and with Israel and everything else is going on. Joe, we need out of America, a strong voice out of one of our three leaders around the world. A voice controls the purse strings. And Jordan is somebody who has clarity. He doesn't speak in ambiguities. He is a guy who, when he speaks, you know what he's saying. And it is and in a world where you have on the Republican side in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, and you have Chuck Schumer on the Democrat side, and you got Joe Biden, you need to have somebody who's going to speak with clarity in defense of a strong American, in defense of Western American interests. And that is, and I think Jim Jordan's the right guy to do that. And as a result, yeah, we need Jim Jordan for that. But truth be told, there's a strong movement in D.C. right now to push in D.C. for some of these Republicans who now voted against Jim Jordan to make a deal with Nancy Pelosi, run coalition, and negate the 54.5 million Republican votes for a majority.
Yep.
In the last election. And there's a lot of, and there, you know, when politicians hear the siren sound of power, it's alluring. So these guys like Ken Buck need to get off their tails, quit whining about. Ken Buck's problem appears to be he's a friend of Liz Cheney's, okay? And so that appears to be his problem. Liz Cheney's.
Yeah, I'm just going to say it. Ken Buck is a liar. Ken Buck wrote a book called Drain the Swamp. Ken Buck came on my program.
I know.
I can pull up the audio from him and show that he is totally and completely contradicting everything that he said in that interview by the things that he's doing right now. So he's either a liar or they've got something on him, but he is not the man of principle that he pretended to be.
I'm going to offer a different alternative. A lot of members of Congress were deeply affected by January 6th, okay, Republicans and Democrats. And how they were affected was different. Different people were affected differently. I have a theory, and my theory is that some members of Congress, and I didn't think Ken Buck was one of them until now, until he said that he hadn't seen enough evidence to impeach Biden the other day. I didn't think he was one of those people, but the fact of the matter is Ken Buck was, in my psychological profiling is, he was broken by J6. And hence his friendship with aid and support and comfort for Liz Cheney and the J6 Commission, and his attack on some of his Republican Party county leaders, and a letter he sent to his own county telling them off about J6 and saying, you don't know what you're talking about, blah, 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 when they said they asked for him to support trying to go after some of the judges and the funding. That goes to the prosecution of the J6 people. So all in all, I think J6 broke him. I've known Ken Buck for a while, and I really haven't had much to do with him for the last 2, 3 years, 4 years. But the fact of the matter is I've been shocked by what he's doing. And the only thing there's a breaking point. There's a time in history that denotes a lot of change. And I think J6 had a massive negative effect on Ken Buck. Bottom line is, if you live in Colorado, call Ken Buck's office and just tell him to, like I said, like Greg.
Vote, he needs to vote Jordan. 202-224-3121. I'm going to sign off on the audio right now.
At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God, and I love his creation, and I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil, and only God is good, and Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest.